very quickly. You know, there's none at all like Almighty God. Gods have been conjured up in past times, past civilizations. There are other gods, small g, that do exist in our universe. I'm not sure where you are in your thinking or understanding, but we are not the only ones who are here. There are others. And there's principalities as well. There are levels. There's other supernatural realms that are also all connected with what we're doing and who we are, as we're connected to what they are and who they are. But there's none like Almighty God when you read about him from his word, and his word declares, and his spirit even declares who he is. There's none like Almighty God. He's created all things, and he holds the world, all of the worlds, in the palm of his hands. So where does that put us? We're in his hands. Praise God. And you know, if you are in Christ this morning, we all, and I'm in Christ this morning, I'm not talking about all the warts that you may be carrying. I'm talking about the creation inside of you that Christ birthed in you to make you become a born-again person. We have common blood. We have common DNA. That's the DNA of Almighty God. So that's why I say when we come together, we are worshiping and we are doing things together. We share a common breath. When it says that only Christ, if any man be in Christ, in Genesis 2:7, it talks about God, when he created man, he breathed into his nostrils because he made him from dust, the dust of the earth. Has anyone ever made something from the dust of the earth? Well, you might have made a pottery piece or whatever. Did you ever try to breathe in it and make it come alive? Doesn't work that way. Peter makes bricks. He doesn't breathe in bricks, do you? He doesn't make bricks come alive. They make new homes from it. It says that God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of his life, and he became a person. He became a human being. And there's only one thing that we can look at when you read that scripture. It's not like getting a balloon and blowing into a balloon your breath. You know, God breathed his very life into this creation that had no life and gave him a living soul. But it was all pointing to a day that was coming up down through the centuries when one day Adam was the first. God breathed into his nostrils. He became a living being. He wasn't necessarily going to go through eternity because there was a breakdown that God knew was coming. But God had the plan already set. Didn't come up with a plan. Already had the plan. Plan A is that one day Jesus would come, and the very vessel that he made that was not eternal, God would breathe in that vessel, and God would breathe his life into that person, whoever they were, wherever they came from, if they just believe in Jesus, and they would become a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the breath of God would be not only come into a person to make them come alive, but would cause them to be empowered to do his work. There's a difference between the work that we do in the natural. Everything, pardon my expression, and sorry people, if you don't realize it now, you need to realize it. Everything that we are doing in the natural is going to burn up if we've left a little bit of something behind after we go on. It's not going to last. The Bible says that all things on earth will be dissolved with fire that will melt every element. So everything that's ever been created is going to be destroyed. But the things that we're doing in life that are connected up with God's destiny and his breath of life that is life, not only affects the things in this life, but even after this world is melted away and all the works in it are melted away, those works will have a ramification of a vibration of right through all of eternity to touch every other thing throughout eternity because it has been done through God's breath and through God's power working through us. God is eternal. So when you're doing things for God, your works are eternal. They're not something that will ever be dismissed or burned away. They're eternal things, and they bring glory to God. You know, Ezekiel talked about, in Ezekiel, let's take a look at Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 11. Pardon my back. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones, bones of people, bones of dead people. Bones. Not the program bones, but bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Do you think God knew the answer to that one? Do you think Ezekiel knew the answer to that one? Ezekiel probably was thinking something else. No, they can't. What about your situations? What about people that you know that are like very dry, dead bones? What about circumstances that you're facing in your life, very dry, like very dry, dead bones? How do you look at those? How do I look at those situations? How do I look at people who are really dry and very dead inside? God said, breathe on them. Can they live? I have to answer that question. God already knows the answer. He wants us to know the answer that he knows. So I answered, O Lord, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy. Prophesy is breathing out. It's declaring. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Do you think it's possible that the people, we can have faith enough to believe that the people that are in our own families and the people that we know, even on our work site or other places in school or whatever, wherever we go, shopping, wherever, and we see people that we know are as dead as. People that sometimes come into this building that are asking for things as dead as. Do you think that we have the power? Do you believe that we have, each of us has the power to cause these dry bones to come to life? No signal. What's some out of you? I'll go there, man. I'll go where you want me to go. Dear Lord. Dear Lord. How are we finding it? Is no signal. Okay, we'll get there. What did I say? 30. Just let me know when it comes on, if it does. It's at 37 there. Okay. Not on yet?
It's counting down.
It's counting down. So does that mean I can wait or?
No, just go on.
This is all my fault.
It's all right. Oh, hey. Thank you, Lord. I mean, I had it right there, but okay. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. That's what he was asked to prophesy. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath into you and you shall live. Do you think that that is creative prophesying, creative power that's coming out from words that you're breathing out that are God's words? Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Keep on going. We'll go right to 11 too. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling. You know, there's always that little bit of a timing between prophesying and waiting to hear the rattle. We like to have things, as soon as we say, it's got a bam. Sometimes that happens. But sometimes there's a whatever the pause duration is between It's prophesying, and when the rattle begins, man, I'm not talking about the death rattle. I'm talking about the living rattle, the life rattle. When it starts to happen, it says, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin was covered, the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. So it's almost like going back to creation in Genesis, isn't it? Also, he said to me, prophesy the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet, and an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel, the whole house. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. That describes a person who's lost. That describes a city who is under the power of Satan, who are lost. That describes a nation of people who are without God, who are lost. But thanks be to God, it doesn't stop there. I think it's verse 14 that I'm looking for. Yes. Verse 14, God says this, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. It's the Lord that's going to do this, friends. But he does it. He uses vessels. And we are the vessels of the Holy Spirit this morning. And God is in dire need of using his people, the body of Christ, Christians, born-again people, those who are in Christ, to do his work, to breathe out and prophesy things where there is no hope, where there is no future, where there is no life, where there are dead bones that are walking around a city. He says, breathe and prophesy over them. You know, it's difficult to go to that mindset of the Old Testament because it wasn't because of the heat of the day and sunstroke. It wasn't because of drugs. But they were attuned to Almighty God. God showed up in their presence and began to say things and speak things into them. Not necessarily all the time so they could physically see God, but that happened as well. But God, the Spirit of God, would speak to people, and he would infuse them and deposit things into them that would, when they were told what to do and how to do it, it brought life to dead situations. You know, let's take a look at another scripture this morning, we're talking about the breath of God this morning, breakthrough, victory, overcoming, power in the name of Jesus. Take a look at John chapter 20 and verse 22. This is a symbolic pledge of what God had promised. And when he had said this, when Jesus had said this, he breathed on them. Like in Genesis, how he breathed on the unalive, the person who wasn't alive, Adam, he breathed on that person because they were not alive and they came to a living being. It says, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. That happened in the book of Acts. Let's take a look at the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is after Jesus left and said that they would receive power after the Holy Spirit came on them. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Power was being released into the atmosphere, into the spiritual realm, and also affecting the natural realm. Friends, this was the first part. This is the first rain. The rain that God promised that would come down upon all flesh. You see, there are seasons that humanity goes through that God knows all about. He talked about these, the former and the latter rain. We haven't received yet in fullness the latter rain. But friends, there's a deluge that's coming. I know we said, we've been saying this for such a long time. Well, we can't hurry up God's plan. Anyone here ever tried to do it? It's frustrating. We have to go and wait upon the Lord. There are things that are telltale signs that God is about to do a Bobby Dazzler as he's never done before. There are prophecies that exist over this entire world that God is about to do something. And one of the main ones that was given out about 100 years ago came out through Pastor Seymour, a black man who lived in California, who was the pastor of Azusa Street. And there was another fellow that, when he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's another man that caused him to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, Parham, on the other side in New York. But first, Seymour began to preach out, and he says, began to prophesy. He says, in about 100 years' time, he says, the last greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to take place. And what happened in Azusa Street, if you don't know what happened in Azusa Street, I encourage you, buy a book. Go to YouTube. Start, go Google in Azusa Street and find out the miracles that took place in Azusa Street. And it was a place that was despised at first. But it was a place afterwards when all these miracles began to take place and the power of God began to flow on people and change, arms growing back where there are no arms. People that had lost legs had them torn off by an accident, or their arms torn off by an accident. Tuberculosis, cancers, tumors, blood diseases, gangrene, teeth that were rotted, holes that were there from the tooth that had been so rotted it fell out, and sometimes they put their finger up there. How would you like to do that? Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And just feel that hole. And all of a sudden, you begin to pray, and as soon as you start touching it, you feel the tooth coming out. These are things that God said would come to pass, and they did with Azusa Street. Legs that came out after a leg was torn off in a rail station with this man working on a railway. Other arms that came off. Seymour, Pastor Seymour on one side, one of his sidekicks on the other side praying, and it happened to be that the arm that was lost was torn off on the one side. It happened to be the sidekick that was with Seymour, and he was on the right side, not the right side, but he was happened to be on the right place at the right time to watch the extension of the bone and the flesh come all the way down to form an arm, and then the fingers, and the last things were the fingernails. He saw it. Can you imagine just a little bit that happened? So Azusa Street was not the only place. These things are happening today. Most of the time, they're only happening into third world countries because of poverty. And there's something about the Western civilization, materialistic thinking. We've got so much that it's blinding us all the time from allowing God to work through us to make these things happen. But I want to say to you today, God wants to change things. God wants to change me. God wants to change you. And I'll keep on saying it until the change comes, because the change is coming. We had the former rain, but there's a latter rain that is coming to pass. And I'll tell you what, when we begin to see all these things, when you get the former rain and the latter rain, what happens when you have a former rain? A lot of things get wet. And puddles form. And sometimes there's a little bit of the water that flows in over to the banks of a river. But when you get the former rain and then you get the latter rain together, plus, there is a river. There's a flood that takes place. And who knows what happens? Do you ever see a flood, what takes place when a flood hits? Everything just goes with it. You ever see a tsunami? That's only a telltale sign of what the spirit realm in God, what the things are going to take place in these last days. God's lining his people up. He wants us to start looking up and beginning to become aware that we may not have seen it yet, But there are telltale signs that are happening to encourage us. But he's getting his people ready for the coming of his son, Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's not very far away. I don't know the time. No one does. But he's coming. And it went before he comes. Things are going to take place on this earth to turn the world like Jesus did in his day. They're going to turn the world upside down and then right side up again. Did you ever see a boat capsize? For some reason, when it goes over, for some reason, a wave might come along again and it goes back up and the keel goes down. Well, the world, friends, is going to be doing the same thing before Jesus comes, because God's heart sees those that are lost. You know, the other night, Norm and I were talking after our board meeting. He stayed for a while. We were talking. You know, there's about 7 billion people in the world today. I can't fathom. Like, when you see an auditorium filled up, when you see showgrounds, we've seen Reinhard Bonnke. You're like, acres and acres filled with millions of people, 2-3 million people. That's nothing compared to 7 billion, billion people. Do you think God's heart's broken? If you think about it, picture this. If you had a family of children, and moms and dads, you'll be aware of this if you know that you've had children, and even one of them is stray, has gone astray, is out somewhere, and you don't know where he or she is, what they're doing. You have inclinations of what they're into possibly. But can you imagine the tearing on your heart? My heart would say, don't come, Jesus, until I get my son or daughter back. Till I get my grandson back or my granddaughter back. Till they come back to you, Lord. Don't come yet. Can you imagine the God who created all things, created us in his image, the heart throb of his people that's on his heart constantly, but the heart ache knowing that most of them are not born again? We think it's an impossibility that billions of people could be saved in a short time. I don't believe that anymore, because we have too much technology, and not just technology. Forget the technology. The Spirit of God can do it all by himself. God's calling his people home. God's preparing our hearts. God once again wants to breathe life into people who don't know him. And there's a body who's walking around, and the name of the body is the body of Christ. And he says, do you not know that you are the temples of the Holy Spirit? And I'm not just, you know, slapping your hand. I keep on slapping myself, because I got to keep on reminding myself I'm the body of Christ. On the day when I don't feel like talking to people, slap my face. Get into their face and love them. Talk to them. Say something that, even if it's a nugget, that may not get them born again at that moment. Say something that will cause a deposit of the Spirit of life to get in and start working in their lives, that God would breathe on them, and one day they'll come to a saving knowledge and they'll be in Christ. God is breathing in these last days. There's a flood of God's breath that's coming, friends, and it's not that far off. God is breathing through his body again, the church. We are God's body. And when God breathes in his body and he breathes in people, there's revival, a real life, a revival that comes into being. You know, I gave this illustration once some years ago, and it just to illustrate the baby locust, it's called a hopper. I don't like locusts. When I see them, sorry to say, most times I cremate them because I have flowers and stuff like that. I know it's terrible. Anyways, I shouldn't have said that, maybe. But the baby locusts are called hoppers. And its wings, and the wings in the hopper are very small compared to the rest of its body at an early age, at a very early stage in its makeup, and proportion to its size, its body size. But it's in its early stage, the hopper is not able to fly. The locust hopper is not able to fly. And so the only thing it can do is naturally he realizes it has legs, long legs, and is able to hop. Sometimes over 200 times the length of its body. Has anyone ever jumped that far in track? Wouldn't that be nice? To jump with your back legs over 200 times the length of your body? Well, these little critters and their DNA, they're made up to do that very thing. But they cannot fly. And everybody, I want everybody to say, you know, because they're not able to fly, a little hopper's not able to fly, that's a sad thing. Everybody say, aw, poor little hopper. Okay. But the hopping stage of a locust is limited to what they can do and where they can go. They can get around, but it's limited. But there's something else that happens, and it's in their DNA. It's a known thing, it's a known fact that when these little hoppers that only hop and are not able to fly, and so they're limited to what they can do, for some reason in their makeup, their DNA, as soon as they begin to sense and hear and feel the rush of wind, all of a sudden their wings have gotten a little longer now, and they realize that at that stage, unbeknownst to them, they had those wings that were growing almost a full length or full length. All of a sudden in their DNA makeup, when they begin to hear the rustling of the wind and hear the wind itself, they begin to flap automatically, start to flap and jump up, and off they go for the first time. How is that? I mean, it's incredible, absolutely incredible how God created things. Everybody say here, jump little hopper. Say it. Everybody say here, when I hear the sound of a rushing wind, I will not jump only, but I will fly. You're speaking about yourself. That little hopper, friend, is you and I. We don't realize it, but we've been made to go through stages in our lives. There comes a time when we have a limited capacity of doing things, but nevertheless, in that limited capacity, we can still jump. We can still get around and do things. But there comes a time in our lives as the Holy Spirit begins to breathe, begins to rattle, begins to rush through, and we begin to hear the tone of His Spirit brushing against the spirit of our hearts. All of a sudden, we, in a natural but unnatural, supernatural way, we begin to take flight in the Spirit, and we begin to go places and do things that we've never, ever done before. Okay. Isn't that wonderful? Everybody's looking at the pastor. Pastor, yes, you can do it. You can fly. I'm looking at you. You can fly too. Well, Cherry's going to fly pretty soon. But what I'm talking about is going higher than you're going. Flying higher than you're going. You can fly. You can do things that you've never done before. You know, I've said this before. Up on the mountaintop when we had our mountain prayer warriors, and I've seen it time and time again, periodically even in our assembly, where people are always waiting for the pastor to come and pray. Lay hands on someone to get saved. Lay hands on someone to receive the Holy Spirit. Or at your place, there might be a person who needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you're thinking, got to get this guy to church. Got to get this lady to church. Got to get this young person to church so they can get saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Do it yourself. You can do it yourself. Let's put it that way. All things are possible in Christ. And He's given us His breath, the Holy Spirit, to do the things that were once not possible for us to do. So start, when you hear the Spirit of God, and you hear the rustling in your spirit, and you know, start taking flight, start doing things, start attempting things, start declaring things. You know, declarations are as powerful as though it would be the things that you're wanting to take place are there. because we're actually calling things that are not, I like that kind of a miracle, calling things that are not as though they are. This church was a not. God said, start speaking it. God said, go. There was no place to go to except another country. God says, start speaking it. Start doing this. Start believing. Start the thing in motion. Start a church. When I realized that we were going to start a church, it was on a dark night, a clear dark night, that I looked at Wollongong and began to just, I fell down on my face and wept. I said, God, you want me to start a church? And I knew there was the Lighthouse, there were other churches that were there, there was the Anglican churches that were around, established for a long, long time. Everybody had so, they had buildings, they had chairs, they had this, they had that, they even had people. And I says, Lord, we don't have anything. I don't have an overhead projector. I don't have the person to do the overhead projector. I actually found, when I went home this last trip, I actually found the first photograph of our very first service. I'll have to bring it one of these days. I'll put it up on the screen. There were 9 people there. 4 of them were my family. It was at the Wollongong Primary School. We started something. We began to declare something. But we had to go past declaring it. We had to do something. And you know, we're not the only, I'm just only coming from our experience, our background. We made a lot of mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes. But in spite of all the mistakes, there were things that were in me that God put in there that were holy, that were sanctified, that were life changing things that God put in my life, that God said, start using them and continue to use them. Don't stop speaking. Don't stop prophesying. Don't stop declaring things that are not as though they are. Do you think after, maybe we're going on 30 years now, do you think, and I'm probably the longest standing pastor in the city, do you think that we should have folded up a long time ago? And especially, I'm not saying this in the wrong way, but you know, when you look at Brian Houston, who started a year before us, and he's all over the world, do you think that should be any gauge for me to quit and say, well, I'll never attain that? No. I used to think it. I used to give God 12 more months. The Lord, if nothing happens a bit more than what's going on, I'm out of here. Probably going back to the States where I can get a good paying job or a paying position. You know, there's a lot of people, friends, and this is off the beaten track. There's a lot of people in ministry that go from here to here to here. Oh, I just feel the Lord leading me to go to this other church now because I just, you know, there's more of a challenge and I just feel this calling to this other church. Nah, it's got to do with this. Manza, no money. Most of the time, that's it. What God places in your heart, where He places you, bloom where you are. Bloom where you are. That's the miracle of you being in a place that is a desert, that was even spoken of this morning, that becomes an oasis for other people to come and take shelter, to take shade, to drink, to live, because you're there. Who'd want to move if you were that, becoming that to people? We came to the point in our lives, and again, I'm only sharing this, I think I'm finished with most of the other stuff. The timing, this is all critical. We need to fly like the little hopper. But I tell you what, there comes a time, friends, when you have to allow the Spirit of God to really have you take a face value look at what really is going on in your life. I'm not saying you can never move. I'm not saying you can never go here or there. But what I'm saying is when you know that God has called you to do something, God has called you to be at a particular place, and you know that you know that you know that you're not supposed to leave, but your flesh is pulling you this way, and the Spirit of God is saying, I asked you to stay here. and finish what I've asked you to do. We had to get to a point, and I've got to give my wife so much credit on this as well, because one morning we were having our morning devotions, and I've shared this before, 7, 8 years ago, possibly a little bit longer, and we sat down, and again, thoughts would come through my mind about, okay, 12 months, God. And then I'm thinking all these casualties that would take place. You know, my son and my son-in-law, my daughter, you know, we served you so long, and why are you going to leave? And I'm thinking all these things. Is that a good example? It wasn't just because of that. It's because God began to say, and it came through my wife's mouth that morning. She says, you know, if the Lord never increases our church to serve more than the people that we're serving right now, well, we need to serve them with all of our hearts and our spirit until Jesus comes, or we go on. And that broke us. After that, things began to happen, because God, I really believe God was looking at our heart. There were changes. After that day, after that month, things began to flop and change. Things began to flop over that didn't need to be there. Things began to come in, started to come in that needed to be there, and God began to supply. God began a spurt of growth that started to take place in our church. No, we're not like Hillsong yet. But I tell you something, people that have left this place that have gone on, they didn't leave empty. Unless they wanted to leave empty. There's people that we have touched that are all around the world that are in different ministries that have gone overseas to America. They've gone to New Zealand. They've gone to different places in around the world. And they're ministering. But it's all because we came. We came and we are obedient to what God said, would you do it for me? And we stuck with it, warts and all. And I want to encourage you, you might be going through something today. Let the Spirit of God breathe on you in such a fresh way that you know that wherever you're placed, you may be in a place now that's a real hard spot, and you've been wanting to just wrench yourself up and take off and go either to another church or to another place. Let me tell you something. People that leave, and they leave with the wrong attitude or a wrong heart, are carrying luggage with them that they came in here with, and they're going to the next place with that same luggage. And you can carry luggage for a while, but then it gets heavy and you got to put it down until you deal with it. Open up the suitcase if you got luggage this morning, friends. Allow the Spirit just to do what David said, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Let me serve you, Lord. Take out the heart of bitterness. Take out the heart of envy. Take out the heart of non-servitude. And let me be like Jesus. Let me serve like Jesus. Yeah, I want to wash. I want to start washing people's feet. I want to start doing things for people that, you know, you might be in an area that you've got so much pride. Well, I can't stoop that low. I can't do those. I don't want to. I've never done it, and I refuse. You dig your feet in, and you really don't want to change. I mean, God's been saying to you, I'm dealing with problems, son, daughter, in your life. I'm dealing with pride in your life. I'm not talking to any specific people, but if the Spirit of God is saying this to you this morning, if God has been dealing your life with pride, pride is a killer. Pride is also it's a spirit that will cause you to never get ahead, because the first step is humility before God. And then he raises you up in due time and in due season to what you've always been wanting to do. What are you really going, what are you hopping after this morning? What are you going after? What have you been going after this morning? You know, I believe that there are changes that God wants to bring in our lives. You may feel like, if I can only use Peter as an illustration, and I'm not saying thus says the Lord, but I want to use you as an illustration this morning, Peter. Peter has done bricking, is that right, for most of your life? Okay. And he knows the bricks inside and out. He knows the whole shebangle. He knows the whole lot what to do. He's done it. But you know, God can take a person like Peter, and if God has on his agenda a destiny that goes contrary to bricking, Peter's going to be the one that has to respond the right way to that call, to that Spirit talking to his heart, to the Spirit of God talking to his heart. It's no different. It's not time or space that's involved. It's the heart and obedience to what God is saying. You can go either 11,000 miles like we did or just go to the next block. Doesn't make any difference. And if God is leading you there to do something, to speak something, to declare something, it could be in your business. God's been speaking to you about doing things. Why? But I've done it this way. And it's, you know, if somebody else comes up to, a lot of times I say this in the right way, if you come up to business people, you say, well, you know, you could do this, 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 because you're looking from the outside. Well, say, I don't want that, because that's not what we're doing. Forget you, because they've got their own agenda. And, you know, sometimes when God says, well, you know, I want you to change this, 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 they can say, to God. But a person with a heart after God, I'm not saying to go home and change everything now, but a person with a heart after God, if you're really listening to God, you will begin to pick up. And you will, no matter what the cost is, have the faith to believe that if God said it, and you know beyond the shadow of a doubt he said it and wants you to do it, there's a good change coming. There's a good business coming. There's a good direction coming. There's a freshness that's coming and going to be poured in. It's already pouring into your life. As soon as you hear the word, it starts right there. That freshness starts to come in. Praise God. Some of that stuff I had in my notes, some of that stuff I did not have. And I am going to finish. So I want us to be like the little hopper. And God wants us to mature in his word and not stay like little hoppers, because God has big stuff for us to do. I know sometimes I didn't like to hear it. I know some people don't like to hear it. You know, big stuff, big stuff, big stuff. Anything that God does, even if it's a small point, is big stuff. It's big stuff. God wants us to realize that we have God's DNA now resident within us. And so what we can do is the same thing that Jesus was able to do. Praise God. He wants us to spread our wings, and he wants us to start jumping, not just to jump, but to take off and do something. Amen? Amen. Praise God. I hope you're blessed. I was happy preaching to you this morning. And do we have time to sing? No, we don't. Okay. Let's all stand to our feet. And Pastor Marianne is preaching tonight. That's right. Yep. Father, we just want to thank you for all that you've done for us this morning and for our attitude of praise and worship, the voices that you've given us, even to make a noise, a wonderful noise to you, Lord God, sound to you, Lord God, that brings you glory. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. And as we go our several ways this afternoon, Lord God, I pray that we go home to our several ways, Lord God, enriched in your spirit, Lord God, and in your word, and that we be a blessing not only to our neighborhood and our families, Lord God, but to our city and our nation and nations abroad in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen. Amen. Have a good afternoon, and Lord bless you. Oh. Yeah.